And today we're continuing our series of messages on the fruit of the Spirit. Notice I did not say the fruits of the Spirit, because the Bible says fruit. They are all intertwined. The Holy Spirit working in the hearts of all believers during this age of grace. And today we're looking at goodness. And this is typical of the grace of God. Of course, our verse is Galatians 5 and verse 22. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness. Agathos is the Greek word. And interestingly enough, and we'll probably cover this a bit later on, but the Apostle Paul is the only one who uses that word, and he does four times in his epistles. It's because the Holy Spirit indwells the believer today. Did not before, he does now. And because we have the Holy Spirit indwelling, we have the fruit of the Spirit available. It should be active in our lives. So let's look at that word goodness, and it's similar to gentleness, which we had 2 weeks ago. Kindness was the definition of it. But today we're looking at agathos, a little different word. It's similar, yes, but different. We could classify this as tough love. Well, let's look at a couple of demonstrations. Christ in cleansing the temple. And for that, we go back to Matthew chapter 21, verses 12 and 13. And Jesus went into the temple of God and cast all them that sold and bought in the temple and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves and said unto them, It is written, My house shall be called a house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves. He cast them out. Just a word about this. What were they doing? Well, they were the Levites, the priests. They had the authority to receive or rebuke the offerings of the people. And let's say that Elijah came in with a goat to offer. And the priest looks it over and said, Oh, this is not good enough. It's supposed to be, as the law says, without spot, without blemish, and look at this bit of manure in the back leg. We can't take this. But don't despair, we have another goat over here which we can replace, and for $10 you can have it. Well, what can he do? The priest is the authority, so he gives over his $10 note, and he has the goat to be offered as sacrifice, and he goes away satisfied. And so here comes Eliakim in, and he has a sheep. And the priest looks it over and says, No, there's a bit of a blemish on the back here. You can't offer a dirty sheep, but I'll tell you what we'll do. We have another sheep over here for $15, and you can have that one. Now, he just took that sheep from somebody else earlier, and he's making money. Every time a good person comes in, he refuses the sacrifice and offers another one, and he's making his house of God a den of thieves. They're taking money illegally from the people, and yet convincing the people it's law legal. According to Mosaic law, without spot, without blemish, and he's finding a blemish. So Jesus cast them out. He made the house of prayer good, and he got rid of those that were evil. That's agathos. Goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. I like that song by John Peterson. Goodness, yes, it will, because the fruit of the Spirit is in every believer, even though the believer doesn't know it perhaps or doesn't activate it, yet it's there. Another example of this is Jesus Christ denouncing the Pharisees. And we're turning to Matthew 23. Now the entire passage from 13 on talks about this, but we'll just read a verse or two. Matthew 23 verse 13. But woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! You're acting like as though you're holy, but you aren't. Woe unto you! Curse is the word for woe. Cursed are you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye shut up the kingdom of heaven against men. For ye neither go in yourselves, neither suffer ye them that are entering to go in. You're keeping them out. You're judging them. Woe unto you! Tough love? Yes, but it has to be so if it's going to be good. And the Lord knows what is good. He is the judge. Jonah is another example of this, all because of his disobedience to God, his reluctance to obey God. But God continued to show mercy and goodness in dealing with Jonah. I guess the capstone is in Jonah chapter 4, verse 2. When Jonah said, you know, I was reluctant to go to Jonah, to Nineveh. It was a city, a wicked city. I was afraid to go there. I wouldn't go until you constrained me. Yes, well, he was swallowed by that big fish. Is it called a whale? Well, in Jonah, it's called a big fish. God created that fish just for Jonah. And the fish swallowed Jonah. You know the story? And it made the fish sick. The goodness of God. The fish couldn't stand the evil. And so the fish took over for God and it said it vomited. That's the word. It vomited Jonah out on dry ground. Couldn't stand him. Well, here's God's love in action. He saw the big picture. And Jonah, well, I'm going to make you fit into it, even though you don't want to. And in chapter 4, verse 2, after Nineveh repented, and Jonah's there on the hillside, looking down and seeing what's going to happen, and Jonah prayed unto the Lord, and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? That's Israel. Therefore I fled before unto Tarshish, for I knew that thou art a gracious God, and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and repentest thou of the evil. God showed his goodness by punishing Jonah. Keep that in mind as we go through today's study. God punishes because he loves us, and he wants the good to come out of us. Well, I'm going to look now at John chapter 21, verse 17. Here's the illustration of Jesus dealing with Peter after Peter had denied him three times. In Jesus dealing with Peter, causing tears of grief, tough love? Well, let's read in John 21, verse 17. He saith unto him the third time, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he had said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? How many times has he stopped you from doing what you think is best? How many times has God stepped into your life and said, no, sir, you're not going to do it? Illustration of the Apostle Paul, Acts 16, verse 6. God had a plan for Paul, and Paul had to learn. Sometimes it's the hard way, isn't it? We have to learn also. God stops us. We know what's best, don't we? No, we don't. God knows what's best, and God wants the good in our lives. So what do we have? Acts 16, verse 6. Here God deals with Paul. Now when they had gone through Phrygia and the regions of Galatia, and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the gospel in Asia. Twice God says, no, you're not going there. But I want to. No, Paul didn't argue. Paul just said, I believe the Lord. I believe his goodness. I believe that when he stops us, he means we're to stop. And that's the way it goes. Think back to the one time you were saved. You had to realize you were a sinner. You had to realize that you were falling short of the glory of God. You had the bad news before you could accept the good news that Christ died for your sin. God will forgive that sin through Jesus Christ. If I but accept him and his shed blood for my salvation, God will receive me. But first I had to realize I had to have it. I was lost, heading for hell, condemned, of no worth, a reprobate, all that bad stuff. I had to realize I was in need. Before I could accept the goodness, yes, the goodness of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord has to chasten us. He does because he loves us. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Well, we look at Romans chapter 8, verse 28. All things work together for good to those who love God. I'm going to ask, who's good? Our good if we obey. His good, because he's going to work in our lives. Chastise us if he has to. He grieves. When we fall short of his glory, he grieves because he loves us. All things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose. There's your tough love. He's going to constrain us or restrain us. He's going to stop us. He's going to show us that we're not on the right track. We might think it's for good, but God knows what is good, because that agathos is the goodness of God. In all these things, we look down to Romans 8, verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Oh, we have these things: tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, sword. They all enter in. God says, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him. Through Him? Not through ourselves, not through what we think is right, not for what we think is good, but for the goodness of God. Notice it's the fruit of the Spirit, the goodness of God. Now, I said earlier that the Apostle Paul is the only one who uses this word in the New Testament. Greek, of course. Agathos. Romans 15, verse 14 is one of those examples. And I myself also am persuaded of you, my brethren, that ye also are full of goodness. Why? Because you're saved. Because you have the Holy Spirit in you. And as you yield to the Holy Spirit and His leading, you're full of His goodness. He can't make you any fuller. It's there to be utilized, activated. Again, Ephesians 5, verse 9. Sounds almost like Galatians 5 also. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. God is working in the right way. How are we responding to the fruit of the Spirit? And then once more in 2 Thessalonians 1 verse 11, wherefore also we pray always for you, that our God would count you worthy of His calling, and fulfill all the good pleasure of His goodness, and the work of faith with power. You see that? The fruit of the Spirit is goodness. He's given it to us. Now it's up to us to respond with faith and power. Why only Paul? Because only Paul talks about the indwelling Holy Spirit. I want to close with this look at the third epistle of John, verse 11. Notice this is written to Israel in the kingdom. It doesn't match up with anything we've been talking about. So we read the verse. Beloved, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. He that doeth good is of God, but he that doeth evil hath not seen God. He that doeth good, where is the Holy Spirit in 3 John? It's not there. Only in this age of grace do we find goodness. The fruit of the Spirit is goodness. We don't have to work for it. We don't have to do it. God does it in us if we claim it. We are given His goodness, and it is as fruit is. It's the outflow of that which is within. Notice that. We are to show, we are to manifest what we have in our hearts, the goodness of God. And He will work in us like He did with the Apostle Paul. Stop us, hinder us, redirect us, yes, even chastise us to have His will done. Then it will work together for good as we yield to the indwelling Holy Spirit and manifest the fruit of that Spirit in our lives. Amen.